Welcome to Allergy Dragon's Lair podcast. My name is Martha Morgan. I'm a specialty diet and allergy chef, and I happen to have a couple food allergies and celiac disease. My biggest claim to fame, though, is raising a child with over 30 food allergies and celiac disease. Okay, so I'm just really happy about this next episode. I have got Zoe joining me for this Allergy Dragon's Lair Allergy Friends episode. So on this happy, we could say spooky, episode of Allergy Friends, we are going to be actually talking about Halloween.
Yay!
You can do the spooky thing now. Okay. but before we jump into that, let's do our quick disclaimer, which is the views expressed here on our show are the personal opinions and life experiences of ours and our guests. We are not healthcare providers or doctors. Please seek advice from your healthcare professional for any diagnoses or changes to your healthcare plan. Hey, welcome, Zoe.
Thanks so much for having me, Martha. I'm Zoe, and I'm with Invisibly Allergic Blog. So I've run the blog Invisibly Allergic since 2017, and I know Martha personally in Louisville, so I'm also located in Louisville, Kentucky, and I have a life-threatening peanut allergy.
Obviously, you're welcome, and thank you so much for taking the time to be on here.
To talk Halloween. I'm so excited.
I am. We should have some stuff spooky, but we didn't. It's okay. I'm kind of in my dark phase right now. So our spooky Halloween. Okay, so Halloween, honestly, as a allergy mom, for me, was scary in general, because you have to think about so many things.
Oh yeah.
We have to think about so many things in general when you have food allergies, celiac disease, raising our kids day to day anyway. And now me, if I go to a party, I have to think about things like that too. And I know that for you, Zoe, you grew up with a food allergy and it was before labeling laws.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not that our labeling laws are perfect by any means.
Right.
But you didn't have Google.
Right. Yeah. It was in the 90s. Yeah. Growing up and celebrating Halloween, I will say, so my food allergy, my peanut allergy, I consider it, I know I've said this on previous episodes, but I consider it airborne and cross contact. That actually started in my early 20s. So I was very, life-threatening allergic to peanuts, of course, since a young age when I was born, and diagnosed really young. But yeah, we didn't have words like may contain or cross contact or anything like that. So it just was not even something that we knew. And so I would go trick or treating as a kid, and I would be around peanut products at school, at preschool. People would keep them further away from me, but it wasn't the same level that I expect and ask for in terms of accommodations now. And so I remember filling up a pillowcase in my neighborhood with my friends, and then actually getting kind of excited, being like, they want all of my peanut candy and they're willing to give me 3 pieces of non-peanut stuff for my 1 piece of peanut stuff. So I always felt like I got out really good in this situation. I did have more frequent reactions, a lot of days and nights of Benadryl. I mean, this was pre-EpiPens. So it was tough. I had a lot more allergic reactions at the same time. And then I would say getting into high school is when I started realizing I need to ask people to not eat peanuts around me, and I'm going to ask my classroom to not have peanut candy, or I'll have to miss school because it's not worth me having an allergic reaction.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about, because I previously have said that your mother was the OG, who I have not met in person yet. As of this recording, I have not met her mother in person,
yet.
But I have called her an OG because I call myself an OG allergy mom because I started it before Google. But your mom truly is more of the OG. It boggles my mind having to, navigate this before labeling laws. I remember because I started it right there. My journey started in 2002, so 2004, 2005. So I remember the stress I had the first time I went to the grocery store, and then the continued stress over the years with food labeling. I could not imagine it. And I think you had a lot more reactions because of the fact of labeling, and also not knowing, there's a lot of stuff people didn't know. Nobody thought about the fact that you shouldn't have the peanut containing, packages in with the other non-peanut.
Exactly. That was a huge thing that I remember once I was old enough and aware enough, I'm this smells like peanuts. And even though it's not anything containing it purposefully, it was in a mixed bag of candy and it reeks of peanut butter to me. And I would start being like, you know what, if it has that smell, I'm not going to risk eating it because it's, you know, all packaged together. And it just makes sense that particles and all that stuff, it gets contaminated.
I don't eat chocolate. Like I don't eat candy that has been packaged together with chocolate candy. Like people will be like, oh, you just pick it out. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
No, I don't do that either with peanuts now. Absolutely. No. Yeah. Can you smell it? Can you smell like if there's chocolate? Yeah. Okay. I
can
too.
Yeah. I can smell the chocolate. Like even like Starburst, like some people will put like Starburst or things like that. And like Hershey Kisses, like especially those, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I will smell the chocolate on the item before I eat it. And like Starburst are like my favorite. And I could pick it up and I'll be smelling like a hint of chocolate on top of like the lemon or whatever. And I'm like, ew, no. And I was like, you know, they say you shouldn't do this with peanuts. Maybe you shouldn't do it with your chocolate allergy. And so I stopped doing it because I have become so sensitive to chocolates.
Oh, yeah.
So I can totally get that from the Halloween or, you know, from even like the bowl of candy. And they're like, well, there's some, you know.
Yeah, there's other stuff in there. And now I feel like I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit. I also want to hear about Vesper's experience with like Halloween, just because I'm curious since, you know, their age group is a little bit after mine, like how that went with trick-or-treating. But now we have the teal pumpkin, which I'm sure we'll touch on. But how did Vesper kind of navigate that and you navigate it?
Well, at first we were dealing with like peanuts, tree nuts, and strawberries were like their first couple allergens, which are still a lot. But when we first started doing it, we would let them go trick-or-treating. All three of the kids went trick-or-treating together. And again, we didn't have the information about the fact that like stuff being mixed together, like in the back, like it didn't really come about. Like, I think it was like a few years after like labeling laws and things like that. I think it was probably like by the time Vesper was about 10 years old and had been going trick or treating, was like, you really shouldn't be having that stuff together. Oh, right. Duh, that makes sense. But you don't think about it. If somebody didn't say it, you know, like, how come I didn't think about it?
Right. So, until something happens.
Exactly. Yeah. Where you're like, how are you having a reaction? Right. And so we started this. I'm not saying this is what you should do now. This is just our history. The kids would all go trick or treating together. And then everybody had to bring their stuff home. We would all go through it. And then there was a bag that had Vesper safe candy. And then there was a bag that was non-Vesper safe candy. And so Vesper could have candy out of the non-safe or obviously out of the safe bag, not the non-safe bag. So that's how we did it. So they didn't really have to, who got more or whatever, that kind of thing. And then we gave them their candy. We didn't let them just go to town on the candy.
Yeah.
Especially when they were really young, because, you know, Vesper was 9 months old when they first got diagnosed. So when they were really tiny, they didn't understand why they couldn't eat it. And their brothers knew a little bit more because their brothers are older. Mm-hmm. But even that the youngest two, Vesper and my middle son, they are like 19 months apart. So there's a little bit. So he understood a little bit better than Vesper, like, no, that'll hurt Vesper. Because then you have to watch about, like, you know, them getting up and making sure that they're not cross-contacting that way.
Yes, contaminating. Yeah, cross-contacting each other.
Exactly. And playing around. So then it would be washing mouths and washing hands had to be done before. And so my kids were pretty well trained.
Gotta wash my hands. Wipe surfaces. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, they weren't allowed to get up from the table when they were really young. Up until they were about 3 or 4, they couldn't get up out of their chair even until I wiped their hands off with just a baby wipe. And then they had to go wash their hands.
That makes sense.
Soap and water. So... because I didn't want the contact, like, I know that there was a chance of contact from there for me grabbing it, but I just wanted to make sure that they got as much off as they possibly could. But then they needed to understand that they needed to wash their hands.
Yes, that makes sense. Yeah, because I was so used to, I mean, having one, navigating one, but when you start throwing so many allergies into the mix, you have to come up with these adaptive strategies to keep yourself safe, because you can't just keep your household free of all 30. You know, I was lucky enough that growing up, even though my allergy was, you know, really severe and I was, you know, trying to not have an anaphylactic reaction, I just had to keep one item out of the house for the most part versus so many more.
Yeah. And then if you look at it that way, then yeah, it's tree nuts, peanuts, and strawberries, like the multi-malte going into the 30, you know, Vesper was 14 when we had another round of tests ran again. And then we did elimination diet and we introduced items. And then as time goes by with those items that we realize that they are anaphylactic to some of them, you struggle with like all kinds of things. And I know I'm getting off the topic of Halloween. So it's just like, it kind of goes into things. So I was like, wait a minute, I'm going off the topic of Halloween, but all that aside, so as growing up with food allergies, we just adapted that way. And then they grew out of their peanut allergy when they were in their early teen years, when we were figuring out the wheat and gluten-free thing. So then they weren't so worried about peanuts, which really, honestly, peanuts is a really big thing. I mean, they still had to deal with tree nuts, and they would just like, if they would go trick-or-treating, they would carry like 2 bags with them. And if they knew it was a candy that they shouldn't have, because we had knowledge, because it's like, this is what I started with the answer with, and then went into other things, but they started giving that Vesper would have 2 bags, which would confuse people. And Vesper would be like, no. And then they would try to put candy in the other bag, and Vesper would be holding it back going, no, because Vesper knew that she could get more, they would get more candy from us, because what we would do is we had swap it out. So we had safe candy for Vesper, which meant nothing that they couldn't eat.
Right.
That was the candy we gave out. And then we also had our teal pumpkin once they started. So teal pumpkin going into that. Yeah. So we had no food treats. So Vesper could exchange this bag of candy for Vesper safe treats when we got to the house.
Nice.
And so that's what we did, got to. And then unfortunately, Vesper is allergic to chocolate too as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Now they are. But anyway, and probably was then, it's just most of their allergic reactions started as gastro. And still like their mild ones are predominantly gastro. You know, for them, when it starts to become anaphylactic, it usually involves vomiting.
Well, that's the thing I love about the Teal Pumpkin Project. And like, I am like, it's one of those things where you're like, why didn't I think of that back in the day? Because it's like, what if anyone were to ask me, like, what would be your ideal Halloween? I would be like, non-food treats. Because then it's not about eating, like all the holidays tend to be. And it's so, I feel like it's so fun. It's like such a smart idea. And now that we do, like we participate, obviously I'm not a trick-or-treater, but I'm handing out the candy with my teal pumpkin, and I add myself to the teal pumpkin map, and I have a teal pumpkin on the porch. And I mean, I don't even know if I've had any allergy kids, but I always, they love the non-food treats, and I always run out of those first, like pencils, toys, stickers, you know, all that stuff. They love it. So
they do love it. And what's it called? Fun fact, Fair did not start Teal Pumpkin.
Oh, who did it? It was someone in Tennessee, right?
Yeah, it was. It was a woman in Tennessee. I cannot think of her name. So anybody listening below, please, you know, comment down below. And I will link it because I will go search it. But at this time, I cannot remember her name.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, and not to go as Fair, I do put my name on the Teal Pumpkin list. I mean, I think what Fair has done to help, you know, uplift the idea is great. But a lot of people will be like, Fair. And I'm like, no, Fair didn't start it. It was a mom in Tennessee.
It was a mom. Yeah. And that's how so many things start. You know, it's like the way that we're starting our inclusive meetup, you know, it's just, it all starts grassroots and then grows. And yeah, it's great. Fair picked it up, but it makes sense. It came from just a family trying to figure out a better way to handle Halloween.
Yeah. It's very cool. And so Fair does, you know, if for anybody listening, I'll have a link down below. So I'm sure they update the map and that kind of thing. And you can put down that your house has, you know, non-food treats. And when we do the chili cook-off here, it's like October 15th here in Louisville, if you happen to be here, and we will definitely be there. And I say we, so Zoe is supposed to be helping me too. So
yay.
Yay. She will not be cooking, but you may see her
volunteering in some way.
Volunteering in some way. We actually have no food treats when we're there as well, because not everybody can even eat my chili. So I have like treats, especially for kids. Like sometimes they're like, I don't want chili, you know, so yeah. And there'll be other stuff there too. But yeah, I have my little teal pumpkin. It's filled with stuff. And it's a fairy tale pumpkin, I think, that I got, like, it's like a bucket. Mm-hmm. And it, then I get like treats, the non-food treats from Fact usually puts them out. Mm-hmm. And you can get those at usually, was it Walmart? Mm. And bag of them, and I know some of the proceeds go to Help Facts. So
yeah, I usually get them at like Target or Dollar Tree or just like random, you know, around town. I'll pick them out, but that's good to know they sell packaged ones.
Yeah, and you'll say it'll be Fact on it. It's like the Fact Ghost. Okay. So anybody out there with food allergies or kids those with food allergies, you know Fact what I'm talking about. And I'll link that down below, and hopefully they'll be doing. I would hope that they're going to do it again this year. But yeah, sometimes you'll find like things in, now the teal bucket I got, I actually was from Fair, and it did, the proceeds from it went to Help Fair as well. So sometimes you can see those things that are kind of interactive, but it's just cool how we've taken what a mother sees or needs, or somebody that has a food allergy sees or needs, and you like create from it. And that's like, that's how Invisibly Allergic got created. Your blog. That's how Allergy Dragon got created. Allergy Dragon,
right. So. And I even remember, I think it was last year. It was definitely like the last couple of years. I think CVS did some kind of partnership, and they were selling their teal buckets that were labeled like, I don't know if it was Fair or if it was just teal pumpkin, but it definitely seems to be growing, like, you know, places like CVS, you know, are carrying it. Like, that's pretty cool. So that's where I got mine. Because originally I just painted mine like teal. But I was curious, do you like for if I'm going to a Halloween party, I'll ask the host to not have any peanut ingredients, and then they will share that request out with anyone that's attending. But I just wanted to throw that out there. I know some people who are more airborne and like have to be more cautious about, you know, breathing on them with their allergens. That's the way I navigate it if I'm going into like a Halloween party as an adult.
So for me, a lot of my allergies are topical too. And so like, if I go into someplace that, if we're like dressing up or that kind of thing, I'm personally not going to be wearing makeup that I can't wear. So I just, cause a lot of the cheaper makeup does have allergens or that kind of thing in it.
Yeah.
So you want to be super careful of that. So I usually also ask, I am not latex sensitive. I have family members that are. So if they happen to be coming with, that are adults, I will ask like what kind of, you know, party decorations they're going to be having. Mm-hmm. And then I also ask about like, can you please make sure that, for me, it's gluten and chocolate. So I need to make sure that the gluten and chocolate are not together. Like, so
yes,
I get very, I'm probably your worst nightmare, because I do food. That's what I do. Right. So I cook food and I know how to serve food correctly. And so I even like will critique them on how it is going to be plated. I will ask, how is it going to be served?
Right.
I usually ask for the whole entire list. And then sometimes I offer to bring things like,
yes,
especially if like I feel unsafe and it's not to throw shade on the person that's doing it, because I appreciate everything that they try to put into it.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I will pass out if I get gluten.
Exactly. It's not worth, I, you know, want to have, oh gosh, am I frozen on your end? It's definitely a Halloween surprise.
It's a spooky special.
Spooky special. Zoe is a zombie if you want to see what it looks like.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. I don't remember what I was saying.
Wait a minute, I'm like having an ab workout. We have laughed so hard.
Oh my gosh, I'm sweating.
Yeah, I am too. I'm like red, and I'm like, it's just hilarious. I can't wait till I have to edit them.
Oh
back.
My gosh, I'm from like smiling so big, my jaw is like killing me.
Yeah, mine is too. Like, oh yeah, mine does that too. Arthritis. Oh. Anyway, that was interesting though. Okay, so it's our spooky special. That was our spooky special.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Special effects included.
Woo! Yeah. I do similar things to you though. Like I'll bring my own stuff, or I'll be like, can I wipe the plate to my own standards before you put the crackers on it, or like anything like that, just to try to get accommodated, or I just won't eat it. And I'm like, I hope they're not. I mean, I feel like good friends won't be offended if you don't eat the stuff that they are making. They understand.
I had a really cool friend one time. I mean, like that, not that all my friends are not cool. That sounded wrong. But so I had this really cool experience once, is what I should say. And that was somebody actually had set up their own, my own look. Cause I was like talking about, I need this. And they were like, okay, so of this that's gluten-free, what I made. So I gave them a list of everything and they literally put a separate table together.
Oh, I love that. That's the dream scenario. It's like, it okay, is. They like made sure that this is like not going to be contaminated by other people and the plates are safe and all of that stuff.
But yeah, it was really cool because, you know, of course, then I had to deal with the fact that it was Martha's special table and not everybody was included. And so I said, I will let you over here as long as you were not contaminating my place. But
love it.
Love it.
Happy medium.
To me, I thought it was great, but some people would look at it as being, you know, separated from everybody. But I liked it for safety reasons. I can understand where, like, if a kid had that happen, it may not feel as inclusive.
Yeah.
But for me, it was perfect. We're adults here, you know, so it did not hurt my feelings. In fact, it made me almost cry. So I hugged my friend and everything. So,
that's so sweet. Yeah. I feel like it would do the same for me. It's such a nice gesture for someone to go out of their way to make you feel like special and included. But I do understand that too. Like, it is the difference between being a kid and misinterpreting it as being like, I'm different, I'm isolated, what's wrong? You know, just like, being an adult is, it's easier, I feel like, sometimes with an allergy, for sure, because of being able to have that awareness and advocate for yourself.
I do have another question though. So when you were in school, like, did you have like Halloween parties?
Yeah, I would typically skip out on things like that. So I normally would be isolated. Like, I remember at my daycare, they would have me with a teacher and I'd be like reading with her in the other room or something while they had activities going that involved peanuts and food. And so I kind of interpreted it as being special, like, ooh, I get to sit at the front of the class with the teacher. And then she's taking me off to the side and we're like having this one-on-one time. But I do remember in elementary school feeling kind of more excluded. And then definitely in middle school, like, I was to the point where I was able to say like, oh, I can't attend that because of X, Y, Z. So I feel like I was left out of a lot of like social activities because of it. And because people at that time, and maybe even still, depending on where you're at, just weren't willing to accommodate and say like, no peanut candy. It was just unheard of back at that time.
Oh yeah. We had snacks at the house, like if they had parties and things like that, cause they would still do parties occasionally when Vesper first started school. And so I would be asking like questions about things, and we would have emergency snack stuff there so that they could have like things that were prepackaged, so that they didn't have to worry about it. And then they also knew about like cleaning hands and things like that, because it was kind of, they didn't allow peanut products in the peanut products only in the classroom, but then you had to worry about other things and cross contact and cross contamination by the time they were in school. Like, the labeling laws had gone into effect and things were being talked about at least.
Yeah.
So as we are moving forward to wrapping up this episode, my final thought for Halloween is just have fun and have a very safe Halloween for everybody who's listening. Obviously, you can check out all the links below and check out Zoe and all that good stuff. And Zoe, what is your final thought for Halloween?
Yeah, I would say just follow whatever makes sense to you. Like, if you have a request, you know, ask that request. And just don't be afraid to ask for what you want and what would make you feel the most comfortable if you're going to a party or you're going to school or, you know, whatever situation you're in.
Thank you for listening. If you made it all the way through, make sure to subscribe and, you know, follow along, comment, all that good stuff you're supposed to do, whichever platform you happen to be listening to Allergy Dragons Lair podcast. We wish you a happy Halloween and we will talk to you later.
Happy Halloween.
Bye. Bye.